tonight's speakers, Lester.
Shelley. My name's Lester Monerit. Just trying to sort of calm. This is really what my recovery's been all about, because I'm someone who really doesn't like being in the spotlight. And my recovery, what I've learned more and more, has just always been about overcoming fear. And so, being here now, fear's kicking in, and it's just a case of having faith, sharing my story. It's all I can do, and you know, and you guys will all do the rest. It's really nice actually to be back here. I haven't been here for over a year. But the last time I came in, my partner did a share. I used to come here quite a lot early on. What it was, because I got clean in Essex. My sponsor used to secretary this meeting, was a part of this, and so I used to come up, and it was a great opportunity for me to come up, just sort of plug in to a meeting. I really loved the fact of being able to come to a meeting, not having to worry about sharing, and just being able to plug in. And there was always sort of a good array of sort of speakers, and then sort of get time to link up with my sponsor and everything as well. So it was always a really nice thing to do, because in the rooms in Essex where I got clean, it was pretty chaotic. It was pretty sort of mad. It was pretty much the same people sharing the same thing every single week, talking about their cat. It was just really chaotic. There's been all sorts of things that have gone on in Essex, and it was just a really sort of mad sort of place. And it was like this meeting and another meeting in Euston that I used to sort of pop into quite a bit, that really, really helped my recovery, because they were just really sort of structured. There's people in this meeting now that were here when I came 4 years ago, still doing service, still being a part of, you know, I mean, all this thing about regular business meetings and a focus on carrying the message and recording shares. I mean, that was another big thing. I always sort of tried to get going in whatever meeting I'm involved in, because it was a big, big thing for me, because share CDs really, really transformed my recovery. That's how I knew about Trafalgar Square and Euston. That's how I knew about different things. I mean, it's even to the point of me in the rooms early on hearing about rock bottom, hitting bottom, and about everybody's bottom being the same. And I used to hear this on a couple of these shares, because I'd hear so many different things about what people's bottoms were, and people would hit rock bottom 10 times, and it's like, how much lower can you go? You know, how many bottoms can, surely once you hit bottom, but how do you just keep, it's all got sort of confusion. I'd keep hearing, particularly three sort of speakers that would be saying about hitting bottom, everybody's bottom is the same, the circumstances can be different. And then somebody actually in this room tonight, who actually I heard on a CD of theirs about hitting bottom, and it was the same as mine. It's a different drug, it's a different place, it's a different time, but everything about hitting bottom was exactly the same. And you know, for me, I used for 16 years. I used from the age of, I started using at 11. By the age of 16, I was using every day, one drug or another. There were certain drugs I didn't use, which, particularly coming up to London, could sometimes be a bit frightening, because everything, I was never a heroin user. And sometimes I'd hear constant things about heroin, and it was like the drugs I used wasn't bad enough, which, for matter of fact, for me, they were. I'm coming into my first NA meeting, it was the day after New Year's Day 2008. The last time I used was the 26th of December 2007. I literally was locked down in my parents' home, because I was homeless at the time, sort of dossing on people's sofas, sort of locked in over the new year. People around me just sort of keeping me, not letting me go anywhere, basically keeping me on sort of house arrest to sort of get me through. I'd been engaging with different drug services for the past year, I'd lost my marriage. I was going through a really nasty divorce. Lost my home. And my parents, I'm a really, really lucky boy because they were there sort of trying to support me, trying to help me. And I put them through hell. At that point, I had 6 suicide attempts behind me. It was a regular thing having to go up to the hospital, mental health services, a lot of self-harming. What basically I was told by one of these services I was getting involved with about Narcotics Anonymous. They also told me about 2 of the other fellowships, but I didn't really have a drink problem. And ironically, being a cokehead, I really didn't like cokeheads. NA was the place that really sort of appealed to me. And so it was basically, I was told about it in October, and it took me till January to actually go, because there was just nowhere else to go, nothing else to do. I stayed clean from going in that first meeting. I'd love to say I got the message straight away, but I didn't. I didn't really get anything, because another thing that I used to hear a lot, which I really, really believe in, it's here on these CDs, about when you first come into NA, you have two problems, an addiction problem and a hearing problem. And that really worked, because I wasn't hearing any of it. And now I know some of them people are still in the rooms today that were in their meetings, in my first meeting, and they sponsor, and they do service, and they work the steps, and they carry a message. But I just couldn't really hear it. I was going back because I had nowhere else to go. And I really, really wanted to stop. I really, really just didn't want it anymore. And I just kept coming back, and I was just hanging clean by my fingernails. In February, what would have been my 60 days clean, well, I should have been at a meeting picking up a 60 day key ring. My divorce had taken another horrible sort of twist and turn. And I really, really wanted to use, and I really, really didn't want to use. And say, I didn't have any phone numbers like suggested. I didn't get to me. I was isolating myself off. So my way out was what I tried 6 times before. Because I didn't want to use. I tried to kill myself again. The one thing that happened before then was that I just called out. I've never been a big God person. I've never been religious. People are fantastic, great, carry on, crack on. It's never really been for me. And I've always struggled with this, even in rooms now. I have my own belief of a higher power, which is NA. I don't really believe in anything else. What happened before I proceeded to cut my wrists, I just literally collapsed on the floor and just called out to something I didn't believe and just said that I really, really cannot do this anymore. Please, please, if anything's out there, help. And I cut my wrists, and there was a friend that had seen me the last couple of days that had become alarmingly worried about my state of health. And he managed to break into my flat, and he got me to the hospital. And he saved my life. What happened on that, though, was I had one phone number, actually, at that point. There was one greeter that in Chelmsford who constantly would try to get me open up. It must have been so painstaking, because in the end of the day, I couldn't look you in the eye, I couldn't communicate, I had long, hideous hair down over my face, I was like, cousin it. Bizarre rays of hats, so it was just anything to hide me. And so the best you'd get out of me would be a one-word answer, but this person kept trying, and they made me take their number down. Now on a Sunday, and I've tried to kill myself, which was 60 days clean. On the Tuesday, I'm back in Basildon, at my mum's house, mental health and all that involved again, and I had this number, and I text the person. First time I managed to reach out, and I said what had happened, and they text back, and we exchanged some texts, and we exchanged some phone calls. I agreed to meet them on the Wednesday in Chelmsford for a coffee, and we met, and they told me to come back to the rooms. And on the Thursday, I was back in the rooms, wrists all bandaged up, and it all clicked. I got identification. I got hope for the first time in a long, long time that there was something there that could help, that these people used how I used that these people had been where I'd been, and these people were happy. And I just cracked on. Service has been a massive, massive part of me. I got a sponsor, and the reason I chose that sponsor, he was in meetings regularly. He had 9 years clean at the time, and he was always happy, always smiling, and I just wanted that. I really wanted that. He had a relationship. I'd come from a broken marriage and everything else. Supported the same football team at Clinchgate, really, if I'm honest. But and I just literally did what he said, and I just phoned him every day. I did what he did. I got myself a higher power, so I had problems at the time, so the test used a lot. I said my higher power was Bob Marley, and I was just told to keep coming back. And I just did it, and I got myself a home group, and I got involved, and I learned from you guys coming up here, as I said, and I just got involved, and I listened to CDs and speaker CDs. And I remember the first one I was given, I didn't do speaker CDs, never listened to one, sat on the side for about 2 months. Finally ran out of all my DVDs, put it on, like the True Addict. By the following week, I had about 100 shares, and I was telling everybody how great these shares were. And I worked the 12 steps with that sponsor, I went right to the Green and Gold, and then things were starting to get hard again. Things were getting stagnant, and one of them people on them CDs was up here in London. I used to engage with. I really liked his recovery, really active, involved in service, and they asked him to sponsor me, and I just carried it on. Service has been a big thing for me, and I'm brilliant at well. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to try and wrap it up. But for me, service has been. I've been involved. I was involved in the first Essex convention. I did the programming, the treasury, and God knows what else in the second convention. Supported by people from here again, and from Houston and everywhere else. I set up meetings in Chelmsford, I set up meetings in Stratford with Aaron, but Happy Mondays with Aaron and Lynette and the guys, and we set that up. And I'm now in Bury St Edmunds, which really wasn't part of the plan. I really loved London. I ended up in Bury St Edmunds with my partner, and you know, we had our first convention last year. I was involved in that. The chair of the F&E committee that we've set up, because I was somebody, I weren't getting clean to sit in coffee shops talking about God. I'd rather use, to be quite honest. It just doesn't appeal to me in the slightest. I want a life, and I want to enjoy my life. I go to gigs, I go to festivals. I went to Stone Roses last year. I mean, it was the massive thing for me. And I enjoy life. I go wherever I want to go because of the freedom I've got, because I have a sponsor still. I'm actively involved in a home group in Bury St Edmunds, and my life's turned round. I've gone from that pain and despair, living in a little flat in Bury, right involved in a lovely little fellowship there where things are really exciting and taking off. I've got a beautiful fiance, getting married next year. I've got a fantastic nine-month-old little boy, who I absolutely adore. My life's fantastic today, and it's all thanks to Narcotics Anonymous and you guys. And yeah, it's really nice being here because Trafalgar's been a part of that. And so yeah, thanks very much. Thank you.